Friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I am delighted to head for Northern Ireland and to Belfast, and to somebody who is a Northern Ireland Sinn Féin politician. He is author, an entrepreneur, chairman of Belfast Media Group, publisher, owner of the Irish Echo newspaper. He has recently served as the 58th Lord Mayor of Belfast, and indeed is internationally known as indeed a very successful businessman. We're delighted to know him, Áine and myself, since Adam was a lad, and in fact welcome him as our friend. And let me welcome Mortino Mulor.
Well, Adrian, nice to be with you and Áine. There's a lot of hyperbole in that introduction, but it's always great to hear from Irish America times of crisis in our peace journey. And I'm very pleased that you reached out yesterday and said, you know, people do want to hear what's happening, because ultimately this crisis we're in is about the Good Friday Agreement and protecting the Good Friday Agreement. And that was the historic peace compromise of our era, of our generation, of our time. And what we see today at core is a threat to the Good Friday Agreement. And Irish America is a key architect of our peace deal. And Irish America, I believe, today has a key role to play. And I'm thinking about every Irish American has a key role to play in ensuring that the assault and attack on the compromise and on the institutions, on the power-sharing executive, on the Assembly, on the All-Ireland North-South Ministerial Council and so on, Irish America has a key role to play in defending that. So that's what I wanted to say first then, Adrian, but you do know it is a fraught time again, and it's a time that I think requires really calm and measured leadership.
We have just indeed spoken with Dr. Alistair MacDonald, leader of the SDLP party, and indeed I would like to get your assessment of what is going on today in Northern Ireland, the smoke, the mirrors, the facts. Where is Northern Ireland this very day?
Well, I think we remain on course, and I'm grateful for Dr. Alistair MacDonald that this week he took the right decision with Sinn Féin to say that there should be no adjournment or suspension of the Assembly in which I sit, and that we are, I think, we are still standing, but there are those who call this week for the Assembly to be adjourned or to be suspended, and for me that is outrageous. And the people of Belfast, I can say, Protestant, Catholic, Unionist and Nationalist, want to keep on making progress. But what is happening at core, Adrian, are there some people who can't handle the peace. There are some people who are resistant to change. There are some people who would love Stormont to be back, but with no Catholics or Nationalists or Republicans about the place. And, you know, this very week, yesterday, the night before, we had language being used about Sinn Féin and the SDLP politicians saying they were rogues and renegades and so on. So we're back to a time which can be of sectarian rhetoric. And that is because, and I think our friends in Irish America know this, and our friends in Irish America are always non-partisan in these matters. And as you know, when Dr. Paisley and Martin McGuinness went to the U.S., they were welcomed everywhere, even though, of course, nationalism in Irish America is a huge force. Unionism isn't. But despite that, Irish America opened its doors to unionists and nationalists alike. But I think our friends in Irish America understand that for unionists, the change was difficult, and that there remains within unionism some people who didn't support the Good Friday Agreement of 1998, don't support the historic compromise that was made, and want to return to the old Orange State, which I was a child in 1969 when it started to collapse. But they and part of what they are doing this week is they're saying we need to put Sinn Féin out of government. And the background to that, I think, is, well, on one hand, Adrian, your guess is as good as mine in relation to other puppet masters behind this pulling the strings here. We had the awful murder of Gerard Davison in May, a former senior Republican in Belfast, an IRA member, shot dead. No one knows who killed him. And then, more recently, we had another despicable murder where a man called Kevin McGuigan was shot dead in East Belfast in a nationalist area, obviously in revenge for the first killing. But again, no one really knows who killed Kevin McGuigan. What we do know is that Sinn Féin has condemned both murders, has said those involved are criminals and criminal gangs, that they are opponents of the peace process, that they are they are dissident in nature, and they're violent, dissident in nature, and they're trying to bring down the peace, and has asked everyone to cooperate with the PSNI. So for anyone to say, as unionists have said in recent days, using language again about Sinn Féin need to be punished, saying that the IRA, which in my view has gone away, which is not involved in any activity, to say that Sinn Féin need to be punished, and that's the word that was used yesterday right. by ministers in the Parliament and the unionist ministers, for me is totally unacceptable and brings us back to a bad place where unionists used to talk about Sinn Féin, voters need to, and a politician need to be house trained, decontaminated, and so on. So there's something happening in the background here which we may never find out who is behind it, because in a really, I thought, a really dangerous setback to the efforts we're all making to encourage support for the PSNI. The Northern chairperson of Sinn Féin, Bobby Storey, was arrested from his home. The unionists were told, unionist leaders were told before the raid on his home that he would be arrested. Journalists were told and were there for the arrest. And there is a hand in all of this which is very detrimental to trying to encourage confidence in the PSNI, which we continue to do, and of course urge cooperation in both these murder inquiries. So a difficult period and a destabilizing, those are in my view destabilizing actions. Bobby Storey, of course, was then released, has had nothing whatsoever. We don't know who carried out those murders, but we do know that Bobby Storey and Sinn Féin had nothing to do with them. We know the IRA, for whatever form unionists said may or may not exist, had nothing to do with them. And we are back to, I think, unionists fighting among each other and trying to use this alleged existence of an IRA as an excuse to try and roll back time. And I suppose at the crux of it is the chief constable of the PSNI, the head of the police, says that the IRA exists, but he compares it to a sort of aging peace corps. He says its mission is to keep the peace, not involved in any type of terrorist or violent or armed activity, and not involved in, he said, not involved in training, not involved in recruiting, not involved in any active armed campaign in any way. So he sort of described it almost like a...
Right. Wouldn't it have been better, though, if he had said that first? And,
well, it would have been, and I think the first comments, because PSI and a PSI and I officer who I have been working with closely in relation to the murder of Gerard Davison and trying to help the community to come forward with information to ensure that murder, as in the other murder, is solved, that he made the first statement, which came out of the blue, that said that the IRA exists and that members of the IRA, along with dissidents, were involved in this in the murder, in the second murder. Now, I think that's just an incredible statement, because even if you accept what the Chief Constable says, that there is this aging Peace Corps unit or organization which he says still exists, but exists to keep the peace and to ensure that we continue to move forward, what is totally inexplicable is the suggestion that anyone who would have connection with mainstream Republicans would be involved in murder. And I think the Sinn Féin condemnation of both murders has been clear and absolute and unambiguous. So that's the sort of statement which has caused much disquiet on the streets among those who are mainstream Republicans and nationalists and want to see support for the police, because Republicans are not involved in any way, Adrian, in law-breaking,
right,
in any type of criminality, and certainly the Sinn Féin organisation isn't, And if anyone is, we are all subject to the law, same as everyone else. So our members and supporters are entitled to be treated on equal basis with everyone else, and this talk of punishing people and supporters is absolutely reprehensible. But at the same time, of course, we're all subject to the laws of the land, and no one expects special treatment. But there is an attempt to roll things back, and it's important that Irish America resists that.
Let me ask you, though, with respect to the unionist parties in Northern Ireland, you had prior to the current very critical developments in Northern Ireland, you had the one minister representing the Ulster Unionist Party just resigning. And it was said at the time that actually this was perceived as an act by the Ulster Unionist Party to rattle the cage of the DUP, and some would go as far as to say they weren't happy with this at all. They saw themselves as having an opportunity to become representative and of the unionists in Northern Ireland. Many would say also that you know, where was the fair play that Peter Robinson had, in addition to a lot of personal problems, he had a heart attack, he was only coming back to work, this would be a good time to really come in and scuttle the DUP. What do you read?
Well, I do think that many of your listeners will be well aware of the storied links between unionist politicians and unionist paramilitaries, and in recent years, last year, unionist leaders stood with paramilitary organisations and their representatives to set up a unionist forum to try and assist the rulings of the Parade Commission that Orange Parade should not go through a Catholic area of North Belfast. They then stood at a so-called protest camp, which still exists in North Belfast, which is insisting on pushing this Orange Parade through the Catholic area of Ardoyne. And, of course, this year, again, there was violence there. So this isn't a moral or an ethical stand against violence and those associated with it, as unionists would say, because they remain members of that unionist forum, which contains paramilitaries and those close to paramilitaries. So that's the first thing. The second thing is there's no doubt that inter-unionist rivalry is causing massive damage to the prospects of the peace process and is endangering the peace process, because the Ulster unionists who walked out of government first want an election because they think they'll do well, and the DUP, which has been playing a sort of a hokey-cokey in and out, they're afraid of an election because they know they will lose seats. And the sad thing is that it's the orange card, Adrian. It's appealing to the extremes. It's polarizing opinion. It's playing on people's fears. So instead of going to the table and saying, we have a problem here, let's sort it out, the Ulster Unionists walked out of government. And then that action, and we know this always happens, Adrian, that the unionists will try and outdo each other. So when Mr. Nesbitt walked out of government or took his minister out, then the DUP had to match that. They had to be even more anti-Sinn Féin than he was. And that has directly created the crisis. So it's clear that where party political advantage is at stake, that is more interest, sadly, to Mr. Nesbitt than the success of the peace process. And if these institutions go down, if the Assembly falls, if the power-sharing executive falls, we create a vacuum. And we know who is waiting on the fringes to move into that vacuum. There are armed groups, armed dissident Republican groups who are wholly against Sinn Féin, against the peace, and there are armed paramilitaries and loyalist sides who are very active and have been killing people and been attacking people and involved in the drug crimes and drug trade and so on.
Yeah.
Those people will occupy the vacuum. So I suppose that's why we call for robust defence of the institution, because the alternative to this rocky road we're on and these setbacks and three steps forward, two steps back, the alternative is unthinkable. And I don't think we could ever go back to what we had. But there's no doubt that if we show that politics doesn't work, those who are trying to move to the extremes, they will rejoice in that, and they will be the only ones to benefit.
The question that we have, and that Irish America scratching their heads over, and that would be if the PSNI, the Police Service of Northern Ireland, which in fact has replaced the Royal Ulster Constabulary, if they were, my bordering on sarcasm here, but if they were so quick to indeed add fuel to the fire, this time around suggesting that, this was an IRA double murder. Where was the PSNI and what were they saying and what do they say about the dissident groups in the unions, which is alive and well, and in fact the killings continue? How can your party be so supportive of the PSNI without having to account for, well, why is it always on the national side? Why is the focus on the nationalist community while little or nothing is either said or done when with the unionist dissidents?
Well, that is the dilemma, and I've even on this program I've been very supportive of the PSNI and remain committed to working with the PSNI. But on the streets, my voters are saying, "But listen, this happened back in 2002, where they said there was a spy ring in Stormont, and the police sent 90 police Land Rovers up to Stormont, and a big, with the media, and of course there was no spy ring." So it's reminiscent of that. So our voters are saying, are you guys being taken on? Is this really a new start to policing? And this is what I would say in response, that policing is absolutely fundamental to change. And as I was growing up as a child, the police force that was here was just really a militia for the unionist government, the RUC. And that has to go. It has to be a service. It has to be accountable. It has to be democratic. And that is our objective. But even no one should think that objective has been achieved. This is very much a work in progress. There are definitely great police officers within the PSNI, but are there also some people who would like to go back to the past, who are at war with Republicans or trying to wreck the Sinn Féin project? Yes, I think there are some police officers like that, and our job is to hold the entire police service to account, to try and outmaneuver those people, to try and expose those people, to try and force the police to be a proper police service. But we're not there yet. It's clear we're not there yet. And it's our job to continue to hold the police to account. I mean, there's no excuse for bad policing, and we all disagree with, our police services at different times that we do in New York and Los Angeles.
Absolutely,
and Belfast.
Yes.
So we don't ever give them 100% carte blanche or say everything they do is right. But here it's even more important because the police in the past, what was called the police force, was in fact just a device for repressing nationalists largely, and we therefore need to make sure the peace is to succeed. We need a completely new start to policing, and we're not there yet, but we are making much progress. And interestingly, if you read closely what the Chief Constable said, where I disagree with him vehemently when he says that some IRA, that there are some IRA members who were involved in this murder of Kevin McGuigan. At the same time, when you listen to his statements, he goes on to say, by the way, the IRA is an organisation which he says exists only for peace. It seems to be a small number of people. He says its mission is to defend the peace and to ensure that happens. So there seems to me to be some bad policing, and I don't know if there's a, is there a malevolent hand? Is there someone behind us? We've had problems with British security forces and intelligence services and so on. So I don't know the answer to that, but what I would say to anyone who throws up their hands in despair, and some of us do that, I do that sometimes when I hear some of these statements from the PSNI, but we need to keep on working to democratise and to make the PSNI wholly answerable to the people, become a service, not a force. But could I say one other thing, Adrian, which your listeners should keep an eye on? And it may be totally coincidental that this crisis in the peace process has come along at the time when we are investigating the greatest scandal in the heart of business, political, and political life in the north of Ireland in 20 years. And that's a scandal involving the sale of the NAMA properties. Properties, 850 properties in the north of Ireland, which were held by the NAMA Bank, the bad bank, which was set up after the crash in the south of Ireland. And those, the sale of those properties, we now have found involved kickbacks, fixers, corrupt payments. And it's been alleged in the Dáil in Dublin, and it's been alleged in Stormont in our inquiry, that there were politicians set to benefit from a payment of £7.5 million, around $12 million, which was paid into a secret bank account in the Isle of Man. Now, I sit on a committee in Stormont which is trying to investigate that. The SEC in Washington, D.C. is now investigating that. The NCA, which is sort of like the British FBI, is now investigating that. And the Dáil Public Accounts Committee is also looking, yes, looking at this deal. Now, I make no allegations because it's almost too fantastic to suggest, but we have to make sure that investigation and those investigations continue until we find out who was getting that £7.5 million, which was paid from New York, mm-hmm, and ended up in a bank account in the Isle of Man before and then was seized. And those are big questions, because if there are corrupt people in the heart of government, then government isn't serving the people, and we need to expose that. And I do know that some of the people involved, senior business people, perhaps politicians, that they would like the assembly to stop. It's actually in their interest the minute that these investigations cease. So people should keep an eye on that. I'm not making a connection, because a connection for me is just too unbelievable. But at the same time, I would say to people, keep an eye on the investigations into the sale of the NAMA portfolio in the north of Ireland last year. Why did it happen? Who was set to benefit? And is Mick Wallace, the independent TD for Dublin, who said that the politicians were to benefit, is he right? We need to get to the truth of that as well. So that's bubbling under, and just when, right, when I see these people saying it's time to stop the government, take the government down, I have to ask myself, you know, are some of these people also hoping that the investigations into this deal in NAMA those investigations will stop? Yeah. So I say that as an aside, but it's an important issue bubbling at the back of all this as well, I think.
Absolutely, and you know, it's a case of the chicken and the egg as well. But can you define for us despite the opposition of British Prime Minister David Cameron and indeed Taoiseach Enda Kenny in their input into Northern Ireland politics, that Peter Robinson, who had actually, by some assessment anyway, backed himself into a corner, had no option but to, as reported by some, step down. Well, actually, he didn't step down at all, did he?
Well, it's tremendously complicated. I just earlier today I did a meeting with some business people who are building a new power grid for electricity in the north of Ireland. Right. They need certainty on a $300 million investment, and the Minister for the Economy has stepped to the side because he's also DUP, one of Peter Robinson's ministers. It's really unclear. They say they're going to step aside for 7 days, be reappointed, and resign again. So it's unclear what exactly they're playing at. It's really as Lanigan's ball. She stepped in, he stepped out again. Yeah. But it creates uncertainty in government, and it means that some of the important things we're trying to do for families, for victims of domestic violence, there was a new strategy to come through yesterday. All these things have been held up. But what I believe Peter Robinson is trying to do is he's trying to be as tough, if that's the word, or he's trying to be right, as extreme, if that's the word, as Mike Nesbitt. He's trying to say that he can out red, white, and blue him. I suppose he can out unionist him. And at the same time, Peter Robinson doesn't want to have an election called, so he doesn't want to withdraw entirely from government. So they're holding on in this bizarre dance, this bizarre hokey cokey. But as well as that, what is happening, which is unfortunate this week, is that the Taoiseach and the British Prime Minister were backing what Peter Robinson wanted to do, which was to adjourn the Assembly. And I thought that was a really retrograde step. I really regret the Taoiseach wanted that to happen. I think that's a real mistake. We've fought hard for these Assembly positions and for these ministerial positions. I thought it was a real mistake for the Taoiseach to adopt that line. I was pleased that the SDLP didn't accept his advice and Sinn Féin didn't accept his advice, because we can't attack our own institutions. We undermine our own existence then. We're as well walking away. And I think the Taoiseach, you need to really make the North a priority when negotiations start again on Monday or continue on Monday. And he needs to say to the British government, who have been chopping our budgets, they've been making it more and more difficult for us to have a workable budget. They're almost making us our job impossible. The Taoiseach needs to say to the British government, look, London is doing very well, but this isn't London. This isn't the south east of England. They need to provide the budgets that we need to provide basic services for our people, to keep the executive on the road. And those are the crunch issues which will be discussed next week in the talks. I would love, I know there's an election coming soon down south, but I would love the Taoiseach to have a bolder, more ambitious, more robust approach to the North and to the peace process than he has. And I understand he's lots of priorities, but for me, this needs to be the number one priority.
Let me just see if you can give us an assessment of the atmosphere in Northern Ireland, particularly with respect to this stepping aside by the DUP versus stepping down, and the apparent game that is being played. I mean, won't the citizens of Northern Ireland, won't they get fed up very quickly of, okay, I'm stepping aside, but okay, we could get renominated this weekend, then we have to resign again. I mean, that has got to have a very disruptive effect on the citizens of Northern Ireland, many of whom are doing very nicely, thank you, and that have, focused on inward investment, they have jobs for the first time. Won't they say, knock it off, cut it out?
Well, I think the feeling on the ground, I would sum up in two ways. First of all, the ordinary people, and I've just been, I've been on the Armour Road in South Belfast today, the ordinary people, especially nationalist people, think that it's a comedy show. It's absolutely farcical. It's patently to do with inter-unionist rivalry. It's nothing to do with the peace process. It's nothing to do with their opposition to armed groups or paramilitaries. It really is. Politics sometimes isn't held in very high esteem, but it really makes a laughing stock of the institutions. But I'll talk about another feeling on the ground. In the nationalist community, there's really outrage and anger at the arrest of Bobby Storey in particular,
absolutely,
at the statements of the Chief Constable. A lot of people, and I met Bobby Storey last night, and he's a very calm and measured individual.
Explain to us, Bobby Storey is the chairman.
Storey is the chairman of Sinn Féin in the North, who would work out of an office in Stormont as well. Mm-hmm. He has spent many, many years in jail. He was in the IRA for a long time. But he is the person, in my view, in the North, who is most supportive of the peace process. One of the reasons I come back into Sinn Féin in 2011 went into politics was that Bobby Storey asked me, would I come back in and would I stand to be a council member in South Belfast? And I have great admiration for him. He was highly respected as an IRA member. He was a political prisoner for many years, maybe 20 years. And yet his commitment to this wholly democratic and peaceful process we're involved in is absolute, absolute. And in fact, he holds great authority in when he says to everybody that the only way forward is through peaceful and democratic means. And when he says the only way forward is to support the police, to hold them accountable, of course, to demand good policing. So for me, he's a hero of the peace process, and to see him being arrested, of course, there was no evidence presented in 11 interviews over 2 days, no evidence presented of any type linking him to the awful murder of Kevin McGuigan. And his solicitor now, who appeared on radio to talk about the interview, said it was comical. No evidence whatsoever. He has no attempt to link him to that murder. So there's a real anger. You know, it's more than disappointment. People are really affronted at what is happening. They don't really understand who, and I don't understand either, Aidan, who's behind those type of decisions, which really undermine everything that we're trying to achieve. So, and if it is, you know, somebody's going, well, you know, this is an evidence-led investigation. Well, where's the evidence? Why is no evidence presented? So those, on one hand, people are looking at the unionist parties and saying, this is ridiculous. Have a problem, get it sorted out, stop this nonsense. And on the other hand, in the nationalist community, there's an outrage that you know, deeper than disappointment, there's a really feeling that they've been let down very badly by some elements within the PSNI, and maybe a little bit of confusion as well, because even what you said, you know, that I've been on the radio and the media many times saying to people, cooperate 100% with the PSNI. With, you know, they are our police service. Everyone has to work with them completely. We have to hold them accountable. Where they do things wrong, we'll say that, but we'll also say when they do things right that we'll praise them. And you're right. People are saying, but the PSNI seem to be creating part of the difficulty we're in. So Gerry Adams is to meet the chief constable of the PSNI later this week, and maybe we'll get some answers to those questions. But in the meantime, some of the actions of the PSNI have not been helpful to the peace process. But, you know, the one thing, you know, Andrew, just stay focused. Get in the talks on Monday. Get the Irish government, I think, more focused on the way through this rather than just jumping to Peter Robinson's tune when he asked for adjournment or suspension or anything else. And all of us need to put our party politics to the side to make sure these institutions survive. After that, we can fight the elections, and some will do well, some won't do so well, but we need to protect the institutions.
Will it happen?
Well, I think we will find a way through.
Okay, the talks, just specifically on the talks, who's going to be talking as now the talks are resumed, and the atmosphere obviously is already somewhat poisoned in the sense that the DUP, Peter Robinson, and the other ministers are in fact on one out of one side of the mouth saying we want to have meaningful talks. On the other hand, what they really wanted was to suspend the Northern Ireland government and wait until the specific resolution with respect to the two IRA murders is resolved. I mean, it would be very discouraging if I were Máirtín Ó Maolaodha, or if I were a member of the SDLP going in to sit down to talks, knowing that really the atmosphere is already toxic.
Well, and you know, to be honest, sometimes when I'm in Stormont, the atmosphere is poisonous. At any rate, there are still unionist politicians in Stormont who will not say good morning to us. Their unionist politician will not look at you. Their unionist politician will not shake your hand. Some of those are very senior positions within Stormont. So really, part of their response to the fact that there are nationalists and Republicans in Stormont is to treat you with disdain, disrespect, and scorn. They really, you know, but I always think that's because they can't handle this change. So the talks will be all the parties, the five big parties here, plus the Irish government, plus the British government, and I hope that Gary Hart, I hope he has a watching brief again, that the US administration has a watching brief and gets involved as much as it can, engages as actively as possible to try and help win a solution. But you're right, I mean, some of the language being used by unionists about rogue and renegades and so on, and Sinn Féin being punished, all those things make negotiations very difficult, but we go back in We need to resolve these issues. For our part, we're up to finding a way through this. But we'll go back to what we said at the start. Some of the unionists think the solution is to put all the nationalists out of government, and they go back to what they had in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't going to happen. So they're going to have to, make the compromise that I have made and other people have made. We make peace with the past. We regret that we spent so many years of a terrible war for here. We commit ourselves to make sure that doesn't happen again. And we find a compromise through this. And the compromise is that we accept that there won't be United Ireland until a majority in the six counties vote for it. But at the same time, that unionists have to treat those Irish nationalists and those with an Irish identity with absolute equality. And that for me is the part of the deal that the unionists can't accept. And that's why they won't speak to you. Some of them still won't say hello. Some of these guys have been ministers in government, but they walk past you in the corridor and will not say good morning. So that's a deep-seated sectarianism and bigotry that we have to work our way through, and we just can't let. We can't leave the stage only for them to rule this place on their own. Could you imagine what a disaster that would be, Adrian?
Thank you, Martin. I wish that we were getting a signal from someplace that this week, this coming week, would be hopeful in bringing an if not an end, an acceptable solution to what is really a crisis. I know we've mentioned, and maybe too often, talked about crisis in Northern Ireland. This is the defining week. These talks are the defining moments. Would you agree?
Yes, I do, and I think Irish America needs to stay engaged. This is a time to speak to your elected representatives to make sure that they know that the peace deal needs to be protected and saved. And, you know, at the centre of this, we have one man killed in April by criminals. We have a second killing by criminals. We need to resolve both those murders. There can be no place for anyone in our society who believes that they can be judge, jury and executioner. And we need to, you know, remain committed to our ideals and our values. And Irish America, I believe, shares those ideals and values, and they really do revolve around respect, everyone at the front of the bus, equality, and that people have the right to have their political aspirations. We have to make sure that no one rules back the gains that have been made, and I'm confident Irish America will stand with us in that, Adrian. But this now is the time to get back engaged over the next few weeks. We just can't let this be lost. The gains that have been won be lost. So we need to, I think, keep a focus and find a way through this.
From your words and voice to God's ear, let's hope by this time next week we will be able to report again on what we all wish for Northern Ireland: peace and stability. Martin O'Meilor, my friend, our friend, and indeed friend of many throughout the U.S. and Northern Ireland. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Take care. All the best. Good luck.
Yes, long.
Long before.
Friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network USA.